Egzamin maturalny. Język angielski. Zakres rozszerzony.
Wysłuchaj dokładnie informacji dotyczących tej części egzaminu. Rozumienie ze słuchu trwa 25 minut i składa się z trzech zadań. Zadania te sprawdzają umiejętność rozumienia wypowiedzi rodzimych użytkowników języka angielskiego. Usłyszysz nagranie, które zawiera zarówno teksty, jak i polecenia do poszczególnych zadań. Każdy tekst zostanie odtworzony dwa razy. Na płycie przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z treścią zadań oraz ich rozwiązanie, sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz natomiast dźwięk. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania zgodnie z usłyszanymi poleceniami w czasie słuchania tekstów oraz w trakcie trwania przerw po ich wysłuchaniu.
Zadanie pierwsze. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie trzy teksty. Z podanych odpowiedzi wybierz właściwą, zgodną z treścią nagrania. Zakreśl literę A, B lub C.
Is progress an impossible goal? In Enlightenment Now, Steven Pinker looks at the big picture of human progress and finds good news. We are living longer, freer, and happier lives. To support his argument, the author shows us some carefully selected data. In 75 graphs, we see that safety, peace, and knowledge are getting better all over the world. When the evidence doesn't support his argument, however, he dismisses it. Economic inequality, he claims, isn't really a problem because it isn't actually that important for human well-being.
2.
We saw the ad in the summer, in July, I think. But it wasn't until November, when they re-advertised it, that we got in touch with the agency. It was perfect. A garden for the kids and enough space for an office. In winter, it was very cozy, which is important to me as I really feel the cold. But in July, we understood why no one had wanted to rent it. All those big windows that made the flat so light were like a greenhouse. We couldn't stand being at home, and the weekends were especially bad. No air conditioning, of course. If only we'd gone to see it when it was first advertised. We'd never have moved in.
3.
Hi, Dave. So, did you meet your long-lost uncle?
Oh, hi, Jean. I did, actually.
What temperature was it while you were there?
We had at least a day when it was below zero. My uncle told me that in January it can go down to 20 below zero.
I think I'd die.
Yeah, and the worst thing was what they call the wind chill factor. So they say the temperature is 0 degrees, but -8 with the wind chill. So it feels like -8. And my uncle said the wind chill factor can go down to -40.
You're making me feel cold just thinking about it. Anyway, how was meeting your uncle?
That was great too. He lives outside of Toronto in a cottage by a lake. Really tranquil and unspoiled nature.
I'm dying to see the photos. You want to meet up soon?
Yeah, I'm free tomorrow if you like.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz. 1.
Is progress an impossible goal? In Enlightenment Now, Steven Pinker looks at the big picture of human progress and finds good news. We are living longer, freer, and happier lives. To support his argument, the author shows us some carefully selected data. In 75 graphs, we see that safety, peace, and knowledge are getting better all over the world. When the evidence doesn't support his argument, however, he dismisses it. Economic inequality, he claims, isn't really a problem because it isn't actually that important for human well-being.
2.
We saw the ad in the summer, in July, I think. But it wasn't until November, when they re-advertised it, that we got in touch with the agency. It was perfect. A garden for the kids and enough space for an office. In winter, it was very cozy, which is important to me as I really feel the cold. But in July, we understood why no one had wanted to rent it. All those big windows that made the flat so light were like a greenhouse. We couldn't stand being at home, and the weekends were especially bad. No air conditioning, of course. If only we'd gone to see it when it was first advertised, we'd never have moved in.
3.
Hi, Dave. So, did you meet your long-lost uncle?
Oh, hi, Jean. I did, actually.
What temperature was it while you were there?
We had at least a day when it was below zero. My uncle told me that in January it can go down to 20 below zero.
I think I'd die.
Yeah, and the worst thing was what they call the wind chill factor. So they say the temperature is 0 degrees, but -8 with the wind chill. So it feels like -8. And my uncle said the wind chill factor can go down to -40.
You're making me feel cold just thinking about it. Anyway, how was meeting your uncle?
That was great too. He lives outside of Toronto in a cottage by a lake. Really tranquil and unspoiled nature.
I'm dying to see the photos. You want to meet up soon?
Yeah, I'm free tomorrow if you like.
Przenieś rozwiązania na kartę odpowiedzi. Zadanie drugie. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie 4 wypowiedzi na temat pracy. Do każdej wypowiedzi, od 1 do 4, dopasuj odpowiadające jej zdanie, od A do E. Wpisz rozwiązania do tabeli. Uwaga! Jedno zdanie zostało podane dodatkowo i nie pasuje do żadnej wypowiedzi. Tekst pierwszy.
I work in a fairly traditional office environment, doing a typical 9-to-5 job. I like my job, but it's annoying that my commute to work takes an hour and a half each way, and most of my work could really be done online from home. But my boss doesn't seem to trust that we will get any work done if left to our own devices, and everyone in the company has to clock in and out every day. It's frustrating that they feel the need to monitor what we do so closely instead of judging us based on our task performance, like most companies do these days.
Tekst drugi.
I used to do a typical 5-day week, but after I came back from my maternity leave, I decided that I wanted to spend more time with my children before they start school. After negotiating with my boss, we decided to cut my working week down to a 3-day work week. This, of course, meant a significant cut in my pay too, as I'm paid on a pro rata basis. I've since noticed, though, that my workload hasn't decreased in the slightest. I'm now doing 5 days' worth of work in 3 days, but getting paid much less for it. I find myself having to take work home just so that I can meet the deadlines.
Tekst trzeci.
I work for a global IT company, but because their headquarters is in the States, I do all my work online from home. That means that I don't waste time commuting or making idle chit-chat with colleagues. I work on a project basis, and this flexibility is very valuable to me because it means that I can easily take some time off when my children need me to go to their school performances. The downside is that without clear office hours, I tend to work well into the evening, sometimes skipping dinner to finish a task. It can also get quite lonely working on my own, and I sometimes miss sharing ideas with colleagues.
Tekst czwarty.
I'm a freelancer. This is great because I am in control of what I do and how I spend my time. At first, I was working from home, but then I decided that I'd like to try something else out of curiosity. So I started to go to a nearby cafe to work. But the Wi-Fi connection wasn't ideal, and I found myself drinking too much coffee. In the end, I decided to rent a desk in a co-working space with 5 other freelancers like myself. The other freelancers do similar kinds of web-based work to me, and so it's nice to have workmates to bounce ideas off as well.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz. Tekst pierwszy.
I work in a fairly traditional office environment, doing a typical 9-to-5 job. I like my job, but it's annoying that my commute to work takes an hour and a half each way, and most of my work could really be done online from home. But my boss doesn't seem to trust that we will get any work done if left to our own devices. And everyone in the company has to clock in and out every day. It's frustrating that they feel the need to monitor what we do so closely instead of judging us based on our task performance, like most companies do these days.
Tekst drugi.
I used to do a typical 5-day week, but after I came back from my maternity leave, I decided that I wanted to spend more time with my children before they start school. After negotiating with my boss, we decided to cut my working week down to a 3-day work week. This, of course, meant a significant cut in my pay too, as I'm paid on a pro rata basis. I've since noticed, though, that my workload hasn't decreased in the slightest. I'm now doing 5 days' worth of work in 3 days, but getting paid much less for it. I find myself having to take work home just so that I can meet the deadlines.
Tekst trzeci.
I work for a global IT company, but because their headquarters is in the States, I do all my work online from home. That means that I don't waste time commuting or making idle chit-chat with colleagues. I work on a project basis, and this flexibility is very valuable to me because it means that I can easily take some time off when my children need me to go to their school performances. The downside is that without clear office hours, I tend to work well into the evening, sometimes skipping dinner to finish a task. It can also get quite lonely working on my own, and I sometimes miss sharing ideas with colleagues.
Tekst czwarty.
I'm a freelancer. This is great because I am in control of what I do and how I spend my time. At first, I was working from home, but then I decided that I'd like to try something else out of curiosity. So I started to go to a nearby cafe to work. But the Wi-Fi connection wasn't ideal, and I found myself drinking too much coffee. In the end, I decided to rent a desk in a co-working space with 5 other freelancers like myself. The other freelancers do similar kinds of web-based work to me, and so it's nice to have workmates to bounce ideas off as well.
Przenieś rozwiązania na kartę odpowiedzi.
Zadanie trzecie. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie wywiad na temat pewnej książki. Z podanych odpowiedzi wybierz właściwą, zgodną z treścią nagrania. Zakreśl literę A, B, C lub D.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Book Corner. Our first review today is of an unusual book by Charles Forster, which is a combination of nature writing, biology, philosophy, personal memoir. It's not easily definable, but it's already being described as a modern classic. John, tell us about the book you've been reading.
Well, the title is Being a Beast, and it's about the author's attempt to be a beast. That is, to live as an animal, or rather as several animals, a badger, an otter, a fox, a red deer, and a bird. He says he wanted to find out what life was like for these animals, and so he did the conventional research, the reading, and so on. Then he actually tried to live in the same way as them as far as possible. For example, when he's being a badger, he goes to live in a hole in the ground and crawls around the wood, learning to identify different trees by their smell. He even experiments with eating earthworms. 85% of a badger's diet is made up of earthworms. Did you know that?
Wow! And how did Forster tackle being the other animals?
In the same kind of way. As an otter, he spent a lot of time in the rivers and lakes and the sea as an otter would. The otter's big problem is that it has to spend all its time hunting for food in order to survive. And that feeling of desperation was hard to recreate. But he did catch live fish with his mouth. To try to live as a red deer, Forster went to the north of Scotland. He nearly died from exposure to the cold out in the mountains, and he asked a local to set his dogs on him so that he could experience being hunted.
What happened?
The dogs realized that he wasn't a red deer. That episode left Forster feeling that he had failed to get close to understanding the animal. But he had much more success as a fox. In London, he tried to forage for waste food as an urban fox would. There's one very funny part where he's trying to sleep on the ground like a fox, and the police officer tries to move him on. He tries to explain that he's trying to be a fox.
And gets arrested, I suppose.
Almost. The end of the book is about swifts, those amazing birds which travel thousands of miles between continents every year.
A swift? Isn't it a bit irrational?
Absolutely. Foster can't fly. The nearest he can get to the birds is by standing in a tree and trying to catch insects. But this section has a lot of fascinating facts about swifts and about other animals. In fact, the whole book is very witty and engaging. It asks lots of important questions about what it means to be human and animal, and provides quite a few possible answers. I really recommend this to anyone with any interest in animals or in humans, in fact. Although it contains some scientific detail, it's a very good read. Very entertaining.
Well, I'll certainly look out for that book, John. Thanks.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Book Corner. Our first review today is of an unusual book by Charles Foster, which is a combination of nature writing, biology, philosophy, personal memoir. It's not easily definable, but it's already being described as a modern classic. John, tell us about the book you've been reading.
Well, the title is Being a Beast. And it's about the author's attempt to be a beast. That is, to live as an animal, or rather as several animals. A badger, an otter, a fox, a red deer, and a bird. He says he wanted to find out what life was like for these animals. And so he did the conventional research, the reading, and so on. Then he actually tried to live in the same way as them as far as possible. For example, when he's being a badger, he goes to live in a hole in the ground and crawls around the wood, learning to identify different trees by their smell. He even experiments with eating earthworms. 85% of a badger's diet is made up of earthworms. Did you know that?
Wow! And how did Foster tackle being the other animals?
In the same kind of way. As an otter, he spent a lot of time in the rivers and lakes and the sea as an otter would. The otter's big problem is that it has to spend all its time hunting for food in order to survive. And that feeling of desperation was hard to recreate. But he did catch live fish with his mouth. To try to live as a red deer, Foster went to the north of Scotland. He nearly died from exposure to the cold out in the mountains, and he asked a local to set his dogs on him so that he could experience being hunted.
What happened?
The dogs realized that he wasn't a red deer. That episode left Foster feeling that he had failed to get close to understanding the animal, but he had much more success as a fox. In London, he tried to forage for waste food as an urban fox would. There's one very funny part where he's trying to sleep on the ground like a fox, and the police officer tries to move him on. He tries to explain that he's trying to be a fox.
And gets arrested, I suppose.
Almost. The end of the book is about swifts, those amazing birds which travel thousands of miles between continents every year.
A swift? Isn't it a bit irrational?
Absolutely. Foster can't fly. The nearest he can get to the birds is by standing in a tree and trying to catch insects. But this section has a lot of fascinating facts about swifts and about other animals. In fact, the whole book is very witty and engaging. It asks lots of important questions about what it means to be human and animal, and provides quite a few possible answers. I really recommend this to anyone with any interest in animals or in humans, in fact. Although it contains some scientific detail, It's a very good read. Very entertaining.
Well, I'll certainly look out for that book, John. Thanks.
Przenieś rozwiązania na kartę odpowiedzi. Czas przeznaczony na tę część egzaminu minął. Sprawdź, czy wszystkie rozwiązania zostały przeniesione na kartę odpowiedzi. Następnie przystąp do wykonywania pozostałych zadań.